Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
With shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well. What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey. Say no more.
Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life
in New York City. I am Connor McDowell.
And I'm Dylan McDowell. Welcome back to everyone who is listening for our sixth and, maybe final quarantine diary episode.
The end of an era. Wait, when we tease this episode, we should be like, tune in to find out. Why an era is ending?
Oh, that's peak drama.
Because I cut you off, of course, but it's the maybe the final. Because Dylan, take it away.
I know. Well, I want to say that for a second. I want to address something that we were both laughing about right before we started recording.
We've been slap happy for like the last 3 hours. So,
and if people who don't know Connor and I personally don't know that Connor is a meme queen.
Yeah.
And anytime you see a meme or anything on our social media, like our Instagram stories, it's always Connor who's spearheading the movement behind the meme. And Connor found one that he has been, and he'll quote it all day.
And Dylan will be like, what is this from? Or Dylan will be like, I guess I'm not up on the culture. Like, Dylan's always like,
rude.
Telling me not to know. But no, I do. And I like attach myself to them, but like, it'll be weeks and weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I see it a lot and it's fun. Like wig is the perfect example.
Right.
Wig, I think, became more in the zeitgeist when that young fella auditioned for American Idol, the reboot, the season one of the reboot, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was maybe 2018?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And upon meeting Katy Perry, says like, oh, wig. And they're like, wig.
Did you just say wig?
And he's like, yeah, wig.
He's like sheepish about it. And he ends up making it. He's good, if I remember.
I don't actually know what he says
about. I don't know
about
if that's the most important part of the video.
Well, the important part is that Katy, it became a meme because Katy is like, won't explain what wig means to the other judges.
Right.
And she's like, it's just for us. And she's like pointing at him. And it was a meme because people were like, straight women at the gay bar like whatever. And I just think it's so funny how they say wig to each other. But I picked up on it like a year later.
Yes.
Like probably a year ago now.
Maybe more. It's been a while.
Because I know it was so much longer. And I, for some reason, thought it was funny. And we're the only people
who would say it. And so all of our friends started saying it. And then we sort of conjugated wig into a series of other words that you might hear us express sometimes to each other. We're probably on our best behavior in front of guests, but we'll sometimes say wiggity or things like
Wiggins.
That. Yeah, it's just truly silly and stupid. But
I can't believe we're talking about
it. I know, but so the reason we bring this up is because Connor's very attached to a meme.
Oh, this one that I saw on Twitter, which it's a clip from season 6 of Sex and the City, and the tweet is this video of Carrie Bradshaw, and it's got like the dramatic music, and she just like has a heavy sigh, and she goes, "Today I had a thought." And the other girls like all look at each other like emotionally. They're all at dinner or something.
I'm like,
and the music's great. And the meme to it was when my mom asked me what I did today. And the meme, today I had a thought
during quarantine.
Yeah. Exactly. So I keep saying to Dylan, today I had a thought. And I'll probably keep saying it a lot.
Well, because also it feels applicable today because we're like, what are we going to talk about on the podcast? Because as we mentioned, we're teasing the hell out of it. This is the last, maybe just twin time episode that we're doing.
On Main.
On Main.
Oh!
Okay, there's a lot we have to share this week. But I guess I'll just say for now that Connor's had a thought.
Today I had a thought.
And I guess I want to ask you, Connor, are you well today?
I'm well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm well. The weather is like flip-floppy, changing. I usually like to take little walks and listen to other podcasts and things, and it's been super cold, and I'm like perpetually unwell, TBH.
Yeah.
But no, I'm well. You know what has saved my quarantine? Bravo.
Yeah.
Maybe a month ago at this point, I was like, I want to become a Bravo gay, you know.
You on the record stated that you were going to be delving into one of the Housewives storylines.
Yes, and franchises.
Yeah. And you did.
And I did it.
And you're not like finished with any of them.
I'm embarrassingly close to finishing New York, Real Housewives of New York, which has changed my life. I think I did talk about this on the podcast.
Yeah, you've mentioned it because it's been a couple weeks now.
Yeah, but I decided, because I've been a Vanderpump Rules fan since 2016, and my friend Matt James was like, he's a Bravo
gay,
like totally a Bravo celebrity in the making. And I was like, which one should I start? I really want to get into this. And he was like, I think you should do Real Housewives of New York. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of looking for something a little bit young, like with younger people kind of thing. So I got into Vanderpump Rules and thus changed the trajectory of my entire life, including a trip to LA we took in 2019. Yeah.
And then you got me into Vanderpump.
Yeah. And it's just so great. I do think it at a point was peak reality TV. I don't think this season's great.
No.
I still love them though. But I think the problem is there's like 20 main cast members. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they won't like get rid of some of them, like Kristen Doty, Katie Schwartz. I mean, right. But like they haven't brought much to the show at all in recent years.
I wonder
years.
How much of that is Lisa kind of feeling like she owes, because she really runs that ship. And so to say, she's always held
even
loyalty.
More so.
She holds loyalty to James, for example, the aspiring British
and
DJ.
And Jax.
Well, him, but he's like a lead.
He is a lead. I know. Well, but Brittany has barely been in it since the wedding.
Yeah. I think she probably wanted a break.
I'm sure. I love her.
She's very sweet, but problematic.
She's problematic. I haven't agreed with a lot of her decisions and the way she's reacted to things this season. But what I've learned from getting into other Bravo shows is they do change their cast out every couple seasons, usually.
I never knew that. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either, which is a Vanderpump
meme. Yeah.
From the reunion last year when they're like, Andy's like, Kristen, are you single? And she's like, I am. And then it cuts to like Katie and Sheena and Stassen. And they're like, I didn't know that. I didn't know that either. We, of course, flash onto that later.
It's so funny.
Gonna have to stand. But so anyway, New York, Real Housewives of New York is great. But what I've gotten back into, which I watched season one when it came out in 2017, is Summer House.
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. So I watched season one right when I was getting into Vanderpump and I was like, this is good. There's some like cute boys on it, but it felt fake and it felt like they were trying really hard.
I remember watching a couple episodes with you.
Yeah. I mean,
the concept is it's New Yorkers who work hard during the week and they play harder on the weekend, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And they go out to the Hamptons or some.
Yes. They have a summer house in the Hamptons, like a share house. And it's both. And you know, they all, it seems like they vaguely know each other, but I'm sure they really didn't.
They were just like cast to be a part of it. But totally. None of them are actors, right?
No. Yeah, no.
Whereas I feel like with Vanderpump, some of them were like actors or aspiring entertainers and they ended up as servers
exactly.
or hostesses.
I think that was kind of the conceit of Vanderpump at first. It was like they all work at this restaurant, but they want to make it big, doing like modeling or acting, whatever. But Summer House, you're right. They're all kind of just like hustling in the New York, you know, vibe. And my favorite part of the show, like I do love the what happens in it, but it'll cut to them during the week and it'll be like Monday and it'll show like one of the girls, she'll be like, I need to allocate the receipts. And you're like, what?
Or like show someone at a copy machine or something like that.
Yeah, it's really funny.
It reminds me of in like the early seasons of Drag Race, how it would show the queens out of drag in their hotels, like doing push-ups or like in the bathroom before they went.
Why do you think it did that?
I think that Rue was very obsessed with the idea of transforming a man into a woman or to be like, look at these men. And then they become gorgeous supermodels of the world.
Interesting.
I think that's part of it. I also think the Top Model probably did some sort of things like that where they were in the house meandering and
I forget.
And Drag Race started out as sort of like a spin off of
it fully did.
Of America's Next Top Model.
But I think in the idea of like early seasons and as shows figure out their footing, which I really do think it takes a couple seasons for TV shows to figure out what show it is. Parks and Rec is a perfect example. Everyone's always like, oh, skip season one of Parks and Rec or whatever. But like, even Schitt's Creek, I think, became a fully amazing show by season three. But Summer House, season one was good because you met the cast and it was kind of fun. And there's some good personalities. Kyle Cook was the star of the
show.
And
there were twins.
And there's twins.
They weren't us.
They weren't us, so I, of course, hated them. No, I'm kidding. I remember, like, I decided I was not going to keep watching Summer House after season one, but I was sobbing watching the season one finale of Summer House because one of the twins, one of the main storylines of that season was that one of the girls was going to join her fiancé or husband or whatever on the West Coast at the end of summer.
Right.
So they had, like, one last summer together in the Hamptons. Mm-hmm. And when they said goodbye to each other, I was fully sobbing.
Was it the same summer that was like our last summer together and then I moved without you?
No. Okay. That was like later on that summer, but it honestly is applicable. And then season two of Summer House was kind of garbage, but three and four are incredible. They fired a lot of the cast, but they kept on like I said, like Kyle Cook and a couple people that
boys.
You wouldn't remember. They kept on this problematic like F-boy named Carl.
Did they cut the token gay character?
He was fired.
Yeah, well, he was annoying.
He was suffering through a lot of like traumatic family issues. Like they didn't accept him at all. And they, in season two, they really dive into his like that being his reason. He has no gay friends. He started dating a guy in season two and like, but like admitted he didn't go out to gay bars. He didn't know gay people, which explains why he was a 20 something white gay in the Hamptons. Like, mm-hmm. why wasn't he in Fire Island or like P-Town for the summer? You know what I mean? Like, it was odd and honestly dark, but they rightly got rid of him because he was also super negative, and they got rid of the twins and they got rid of some other people. And season three, they brought in a younger cast and it is so good. I cannot recommend Summer House
enough. Almost sold me on it.
Dylan, you need to watch it. It's incredible.
As I mentioned last week, I'm trying not to start new series.
Well, what's good about Summer House now is it would hype, I guess, not good for your quarantine watch, bad for real life. It films late June through Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee you it's not going to happen this summer.
Right.
Not only I mean, they could probably, okay, so the show is, they live in a summer house, but there's also like Big Brother style security cameras so that the film crew isn't always there.
Yes, that's right.
So you see them, my other favorite part of the show, other than seeing them in New York, is like watching them like come in from on Friday and like unpack and like you see where they're going to be. And then I love watching them like, this is like sounds creepier than it is, but I love watching them like wake up in the morning and like make coffee or whatever, and some of them like do weird things.
It sounds like The Sims or something like that.
It's very Sims, but I don't think they're going to film season five this summer.
Or maybe a shortened season if the quarantine stuff lifts in certain areas.
I don't know.
Because some states are opening up, and so you never know if some film companies are like, screw it, we have one more episode left of our season.
Well, that is something that's happening. We can get onto that. I just want to finish off Summer House, but I will say, so if you want to watch it, it's like 10 to 13 episodes per season. They're 42 minutes long, and you don't have to always be paying attention all the time because Bravo does a really good job of reminding you like what happened 10 minutes ago.
Right.
I highly recommend. It's so fun. It will make you feel sad that you're not going to have like summer parties and things like that.
Whatever. No one is.
Whatever. But
well, some people are.
Some people are. That's a dose of drama.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk on
that's
that later.
Tea. But anyway, Summer House, love it. It is getting me through my quarantine. It's the reason I'm well 10 minutes later.
I love that.
Are you well, Dylan?
I am very well because I have an exciting announcement to share within the podcast. So as we've been hinting the heck out of throughout the beginning of this episode, is that this is sort of going to be the end of these just Connor and I talking episodes. We sort of hinted last week that this one would be a different episode, but we really needed to make sure that everything was going to be, you know, tested properly and everything was lined up. But I'm excited to share that next week we are returning with our thrilling special guest interviews.
That's right.
And
you missed
you'll
it.
Still get Connor and I. You'll still get all the fun. But we're going to have a third person joining us via Zoom. We're
welcoming in a third.
Oh. I hate that.
That's stupid. But
now you cut that out. I'm just kidding. but we have someone unreal.
Mm-hmm.
Who is signed on to be the first guest via Zoom.
Do they know they're the first?
They do.
They know that they're actually. Yeah,
they do. And
it's a gag.
It's someone who we have been trying to get since the beginning, but they've been so booked.
They have been.
And their representation was like, you got to check back in 2020 because they're booked. And then we got them.
I know. And you know what's... I always say to Dylan, I don't always like to give people the huge peek behind the curtain for like behind the scenes podcast stuff. I almost like it to be like a seamless chat.
Yeah.
But I do think you're going to see a different drama going forward. And like, this is me teasing it without even like doing,
right,
you know, recording a new one yet. But I think that these quarantine diaries have given Dylan and I such a way for our listeners to really get to know us better and for us to become more comfortable talking,
especially on the mic,
about ourselves, about our experiences, about our interests. And I think going forward, it's gonna, I hope, be, aside from not being in the room together, the podcast that we dreamed it would be,
right,
in that we are so much more confident, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we can steer the ship in the direction that
we want.
And
that's no shade to any of our earlier episodes, because I'm proud of the first 22 or however many we did.
Yeah, for sure.
But this is gonna be an exciting next chapter. And the reason why we essentially decided to go back to interviews is because we realized that so much of the podcast is us, but we also love bringing in new audiences and getting to hear fun stories. And now that there's like honestly no end in sight for
in many ways,
the time of social distancing, we decided, you know what, let's get back in. There's so many people on our dream list that we want to talk to. So why the heck not return to it? So next week, an interview will begin, and then hopefully every week going forward, you'll get those, as I mentioned, thrilling special guests within the world of entertainment.
And if you have literally lived, died, dreamed, been obsessed with these conversations with just Dylan and I think we can announce it.
I think it's time to announce.
We are officially going to be launching a Patreon page, which is where you'll be able to get all access bonus content from Drama with Connor and Dylan McDowell. And basically the concept is a podcast. It's like Britney Spears. Basically the concept of the album Circus is Circus. But it's going to be like these. It's going to be 2 to 4 times a month. We're going to be dropping these bonus episodes where it's us talking, diving into specific topics, giving you that extra dose of drama that you're longing for, you're living for, so that you'll get your interviews every Wednesday and then every Friday or every other, depending on what's happening. You'll get access to these extra episodes and
other exclusive content.
We'll probably have other special interviews, maybe some return guests, like Dylan said, exclusive content, maybe a little Insta-close friends action. Down the line, some merchandise.
Yeah, merch, which we've been trying to figure out for a long time of when the right time to get all that together is. And there's no time like now because we have all the time during quarantine.
True.
So, but the concept is that there's a paywall to it. So it's $5 a month.
That's it.
And it's all that it's basically 50% of our content will then be available to an exclusive audience who want to subscribe. And if you don't, no worries. It's still fun. You're still, nothing about the main feed of Drama is going to change.
That's true.
It's going to go back to just the interviews every week, and it'll still be iconic and fun as much as we try to make it. And there will be lots of different perks that will come up as we go along. The reason there's a paywall to it as well is we have invested so much time and money into this podcast, and you know, no one's really working right now, and any money can go a long way. And we want to continue to improve our equipment, and as we get back into studios, be able to pay for, you know, where we're actually going to be recording, and, you know, maybe even some extra bonus fun things for everyone to have who subscribes.
Ooh, la la, I love it.
Yeah, so it's just going to be really fun.
Today I had a thought.
We would launch a Patreon.
As the creative director of the Patreon.
Yes, Connor is the official creative director. So any questions, qualms, or concerns, please bring them up with him.
Oh my God, I'm gagged. Okay. Dylan, what else is going on?
It's been a week. There's been a lot of fun things that have been happening. We've already learned of the Lucille Lortel winners.
Which
was mainly like A Strange Loop.
Which is amazing. We've, you know, that was pre-podcast that A Strange Loop came out.
Sorry, A Strange Loop was on there as well. But,
yeah. But also they won the Pulitzer.
Is it Pulitzer or Pulitzer?
I don't know.
Mr. Pulitzer. That's how they'd say it in Newsies, but.
I love a Newsie.
You love like a Newsie accent.
I do. I love like a Bronx. A Bronx tale, mother. I do love a Newsie.
That's so funny.
Maybe like there'll be Newsie stories on Patreon. Oh, bloop.
Certainly could be.
Moving on.
Wait,
what was that? Okay.
Oh my. Connor's full meme queen today.
I know, that's a Wendy Williams. Okay.
But so the big winner was actually Octet, the Dave Malloy follow-up.
Ooh.
From Great Comet. But A Strange Loop was nominated for a bunch of awards. And of course, Larry Owens won for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Musical. And then it was announced that A Strange Loop won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama, which is huge.
Huge.
10th musical in history to win the Pulitzer. And it's also the only musical that doesn't have a Broadway run announced or have been on Broadway that has won this
award.
Oh
my God, that's insane.
Mm-hmm. I saw Jen Tepper, our historian of theater and Broadway, posted about that.
That's crazy.
I know. past winners are Rent, which it actually won a week or so before it went to Broadway, but it already had its off-Broadway run. Next to Normal won. Hamilton, of course. South Pacific, just a bunch of amazing shows.
I love that for them.
And it's in like, it's usually like play, like the last few years it's been plays that have won.
That's right.
Including
Fairview.
Which we loved.
Yeah, that was good.
But so yeah, it's really
exciting.
We saw
Broadway stars at Fairview.
We did.
We also saw a hugely famous Tony Award winner at A Strange Loop, if you can remember that.
We did.
1 week after each other.
Yes.
It was like last summer. That was so, I loved last summer kind of.
Yeah. Every Wednesday night we would try to see an off-Broadway show.
Yeah.
Because of your schedule.
Oh,
and we would get like those really cheap tickets through like their, theaters really were making it happen for like low price ticket initiatives. But we saw A Strange Loop during its extension and our mind was blown. We were in the front row, oddly.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
It's an incredible story that I can't do it any justice by retelling it on here, but the album is available online, and the whole show is basically sung through.
Oh, that's true. So you can pretty much get the whole experience, and yes, I'm sure we'll see it again now.
Yeah, well, it's
right?
supposed to be there, a run is announced for in the fall.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't remember where. Maybe DC or something along those lines. But it's an incredible story about the Black gay experience. Larry Owens, who's like a New York musical comedian person, you've got to follow him on Twitter. He is incredible, and I'd love to have him come on Drama.
Add him to the list.
Yeah, we'll get him on the list. But it's a great tale, and it's also the first
musical. He's already on the list.
Yeah, I know. It's also the first musical of those 10 that won the Pulitzer that is written by a Black gay man.
Oh my God.
It's like the Moonlight of
it is.
Broadway. Yeah.
Michael R. Jackson, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Michael R. Jackson. Who he was
the
also,
other MJ.
Yeah, the other MJ.
The only MJ.
The only MJ as far as I'm
concerned. I'm gonna make a stance. Anyway,
yeah, no, I know. But so yeah, so that's been exciting news. And the Lortel winners were all announced, like I mentioned, and you know, some really great winners in there too. It's been a great year for awards so far, as far as winners. It's a shame that we can't all celebrate and, you know, go forth in that way. But we've dwelled on awards enough. What else do you have? What do you think's gone on
in the theater world? What I have to say is my obsession, like actual obsession. And I haven't really been listening to that much music in quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It's just not. I guess I'm not really. I listen to music to hype up, and you know, when you're like getting ready to go out, or when you're like in a class or whatever, walking down the street.
I do it when I'm working, which
that's true.
I'm
you
not
do
doing so
because streaming music is still down.
That's wild.
I know. And Juliet,
the British sensation,
and Juliet, it is amazing. It's okay. So And Juliet is this, like Dylan said, West End sensation. Basically, it's about the story of Romeo and Juliet, but what would have happened if Juliet didn't die?
Mm-hmm.
And it is twisty. It's fun. It's kind of it's a little framey with Shakespeare and his wife, Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway.
The other Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like taking a feminist twist on the story. And it is incredible. And it's with all Max Martin songs, who's mm-hmm. written, you know, just like all of your favorite pop songs. Britney Spears.
Domino by Jessie J.
Domino by Jessie J. And Jessie J co-wrote an original song. There is one original
that
number.
That is a gag. Jessie J is unreal vocals.
Oh my God, yeah.
Although I've heard some tea that she's not always the most professional.
I've heard that too. You hate to see it.
I know, but we still love her music.
Yeah, Domino is incredible. That's mm-hmm. in the show. But it's got Britney Spears songs. It's got a Celine Dion song. Like it really, I want it that way. Mm-hmm. It's great.
It's pop music all through and through. So if you don't love pop, when I listened to it, it kind of reminded me of Moulin Rouge, but less mashups and less mm-hmm. like it felt like less condensed versions of the songs. Like you actually kind of got the full song.
Oh my God. And there's a version of Love Me Like You Do by
Ms. Goulding.
sung by a man, and it is butter. Oh my God. I live for that.
Well, we've always felt like pop music can be, if the lyrics are spoken, really do bring like a dramatic sensibility.
Oh yeah.
Like we've talked about Taylor Swift a lot, like her lyrics being these great stories. But what I loved about it was I looked on the Instagram for Anne Juliet, and I was like, of course, looking into the cast and everything, and I am just, it almost like made me emotional looking at the all different shapes and sizes of the cast, the leading characters, all different colors. Like Juliet is a Black woman. It's just like this story that we know and some people love, some people hate from freshman English class, but being retold in a way with, it doesn't matter what people look like and the colors of their skin, just their voices are absolutely gorgeous. So it's
amazing. I can't wait to see it one day.
I know. So
there's
I'm
an
assuming
amazing trailer online.
Okay, I'll
that you
watch
can
it.
Watch. I don't normally do this. Like you can tell I'm into it.
Well, I hear you listening to it like when you're like off in your room.
Yeah. I love it. But speaking of Britney Spears, this made me think of it. She revealed on Instagram that she burned down her gym on accident.
Which I don't know how I missed this.
Well, because you don't watch videos with sound on.
Famously.
So Britney like told, she addressed the crowd on her Instagram and told us, she was like, I had two candles and yeah, one thing led to another and I burned it down.
Oh my God.
And it was like 6 months ago or something.
At least she's okay.
And then she wrote like in the caption, like, everyone's fine. Like, I walked by and I saw it was burning. And
so it's like a gym she had like on her property.
Yeah, in her home. Isn't that so crazy? Poor Brittany.
Two candles. You think about like all the cycling classes you take where there's candles.
I know.
In the room. Poor Brittany. She's, you know, we love her. We always will support her and we would just want her to be happy.
She's a legend.
100%.
She's a legend. But I know, I'm so sad for her.
I know.
But the, it's
you're
like,
quite attached to her.
I am. I love her ballads are amazing.
They really are.
I was listening to this playlist a lot last summer that was like Britney ballads. She has great ones. Not
What's
a girl, not yet a woman.
Oh, yes.
I mean, Lucky, I think, is my favorite Britney song. I mean, mid-tempo.
I like Every Time.
Oh, that's good. But Sometimes is my favorite, like, mid-tempo Britney.
Sometimes I Run.
It's so good. But anyway, poor Britney. It's just funny that she revealed this 6 months later. It makes me think more about those celebrities that aren't necessarily always telling us what they're doing, how much actually happens in their lives on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
and
Beyonce.
Everyone's
like,
letting us into their homes now. And
not Beyonce.
Not Beyonce, which we talked about, but... Oh, speaking of, did you see they're doing another Disney sing-along?
Really?
Yeah, we'll have to watch.
Who's in it?
I know Ben Platt is doing it.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. He'll be great. I wonder what he'll sing. What would you want to hear Ben Platt sing on a sing-along?
Disney-wise?
Yeah.
I feel like he'll either do like a female song, like Reflection or something like that, and like just riff the house down.
Yeah.
Or maybe he'll do, let's see, did we get Go the Distance in the last one?
I don't think we did.
Yeah, I could see him doing that or... God, I always forget what songs aren't in movies, but I would love to see Ben Platt as Quasimodo in Hunchback of Notre
Ooh,
Dame.
Out there.
Mm-hmm. He could sing out there.
I would be gagged.
Mm-hmm. He'd be great.
He would be great.
Speaking of Ben Platt, The Politician season 2.
Okay.
Is done filming.
I know. There was that weird Ryan Murphy. I feel like we're going to talk about Ryan Murphy a lot here for a few minutes. There was that weird Ryan Murphy interview where he kind of gave the status update on all his different TV and film projects that are coming out.
Because he signed that huge deal with Netflix and is
That's
responsible
right.
for all these different things, but also still is kind of contracted with FX.
Well, he still has American Horror Story on that network, as well, I want to say as well as American Crime Story, which was supposed to have its long-awaited second season, which, remember, at first it was going to be like, season two is American Crime Story, Hurricane Katrina.
Yes.
And then, or maybe that was supposed to be season three, and then... You know, I forget the order, but then one of them was going to be Princess Diana.
That was going to be another feud.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they'll do more of those.
I thought Feud with Betty and Joan was great.
It was great.
But so this American Crime Story, it's going to be the impeachment story.
Oh.
About Bill Clinton and, of course, Monica Lewinsky.
Played by... Beanie Feldstein,
who we love, and I don't know if we've ever talked about this.
No, save it for the Patreon.
Okay. We have had the chance to meet Beanie and
socially.
And we love her so much. But this was going to be like Connor mentioned, the follow up to. This is the third season of American Crime Story. The first one was OJ, the People versus OJ. The second one was Versace.
That's
the assassination
right.
of Gianni Versace, which was amazing and honestly a little bit underrated.
I definitely loved it.
A bunch of awards, but I felt like people didn't really watch it all the way through.
Well, they framed it as they showed the first episode being the assassination, and then they worked in reverse order. It was more about Andrew Cunanan who murdered Versace, but it went backwards from that day. So it went all the way to the kind of the inception of a, I suppose, serial killer.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he committed several murders, and it followed all the different people he had killed first on his way.
Yeah.
But the way it was done in reverse, and I guess the last episode did follow up on what the first episode started with. This is confusing to even explain.
Yeah.
And so that's why the show wasn't ever advertised as this. But it was one of those shows where you had to be paying attention because the dates would be shown at the beginning of the episode or whatever. And especially for us, who were too young at the time to even know what was going on. Like, it wasn't in the news. It did bring to light this, like, obviously horrible thing that happened, but how specifically gay people were affected.
It was mostly gay people who were murdered.
Yeah. Insane.
It was really good.
Darren Criss
was fantastic and won all the awards.
He did. Emmy winner.
Golden Globe.
And he was good. You know who was great in that, which was the introduction to Cody Fearn?
Which listeners will know him from American Horror Story. What was the recent one called? Apocalypse?
He was in Apocalypse and 1984.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But
he's
a
really cute blonde guy who was in both
those.
He played, like, Satan in Apocalypse, and I couldn't tell you anything about his character.
In 84. He was, like, kind of a porn star. That was like the twist.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Remember? And then like the guy who filmed the video showed up at the summer camp.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was a bad season.
I actually liked it more than Cult and other more recent years, but
maybe it would have been fun to binge. I feel like I talk about this all the time. Like, what's good to watch week to week and what's good to binge. Mm-hmm. I sometimes find that bad things are way easier. I mean, obviously are way easier to get through if you watch it in like a weekend.
Right.
Rather than like over the course of 8 weeks, because American Horror Story 1984 was bad. Speaking of American Horror Story, and then we're going back to Ben Platt and The Politician.
Okay.
I actually read that.
This is the Ryan Murphy section.
This is the Murphyverse. Mm-hmm. Okay. American Horror Story season 10 was supposed to come out this fall, as it always does.
Right.
And they announced, I think, last year that FX had renewed AHS through season 13.
Okay.
Which, meh. I feel like they've run out of ideas completely. And for me, even though I did love the Apocalypse season after episode 3, I think they worked better when they were operating as their own worlds. And then Ryan Murphy was like, LOL, just kidding. They're all tied together, after him being like, no, they have nothing to do with each other. I still think Murder House is the best season, but we can debate that later. Okay, season 10 was supposed to start filming in April of American Horror Story. It obviously didn't.
And it's May now.
It's now May. And Ryan Murphy's like, I don't know if it'll happen anymore because, I mean, and the theme was never announced, only that Macaulay Culkin was joining the cast.
Oh, right.
And also that, like, Sarah Paulson was back, Evan Peters was going to be back, and they all took season 9 off, and they brought in Gus Kenworthy.
Fun.
Beautiful gowns. So anyway, Ryan Murphy was like, I don't know if season 10 will happen because it's very weather specific, and the moment has to do with something with the weather.
What?
And I know, isn't that cracked? Like, talk about a Ryan Murphy, like, interview thing he'll
say. As in, like, it needs to be filmed during the summer?
Something like that. I know it's supposed to be filmed by a beach.
Okay, cool.
So we'll see what it is. I really have no clue what the theme is. My worst fear, though... Oh, and then he was like, maybe we'll rush the season to get it out this fall, or we'll just skip this year and come back next year.
Great.
And do it. Which would be fine with me.
Yeah.
My literal worst fear is that Ryan Murphy does AHS COVID-19.
Oh,
it's coming.
Something like that will come.
I mean, he literally did AHS Cult about the 2016 election 6 months after the 2016 election.
That's interesting. I wonder if that would fit better into like Crime Story and talk about how like the mishandling of COVID by the government and things like that have happened.
Let's do it, but let's give it some time to breathe. I don't want to watch any art that has to do with coronavirus.
No, please. But and maybe that's us right now, though, because, you know, maybe in a year's time, we'll see something about Amy Acton and Julia Roberts will play her and win an Oscar.
Another Oscar for Ms. Julia.
Anyways.
You know what we're going to see, though, is on all of the reality shows we watch, obviously they're going to be talking about it, but we're going to relive it through all of these reality shows.
Definitely.
God, it's crazy.
I know.
Anyway, back to Ryan Murphy.
So yeah, so
that's
the Politician,
AHS update.
Yeah.
But Politician.
Well, I heard one AHS update was that Ariana Grande was rumored to be joining the cast.
Oh, wig.
Mm-hmm. Which would have been great. She is, of course, a part of the Ryan Murphy extended universe because she was on Scream Queens season 1.
And was rumored to be in The Prom, which we talked about this.
Well, yes.
And you know what? I actually have something to say.
Speak on it.
I feel like I've been blabbing. Okay, like just rambling. Okay, so last week I didn't get to finish my thought about Ariana Grande's rumored casting in The Prom.
Okay.
So there was controversy around it, and I made a comment that, like, you know, people were really sensitive and, like, worked up about who she was going to be playing because the rumor was that she was going to be playing the character of Alyssa Green, who is a lesbian woman of, you know, and... What I was meaning to say was no one actually knew who she was going to be playing, and the casting was never even I don't think it was even official.
It wasn't.
Rumors are out. And I was saying people are being too sensitive because before even knowing what was happening, like, you know, maybe Ariana was going to play one of the mean girls or something. Like, I don't know. They were stacking the cast. Literally every character was stacked.
Yes.
They had Awkwafina. Wasn't Awkwafina supposed to be
originally
in it? And then they removed her. Like, the rumors were weird and, like, out there. And so I was not... I don't care. I was like, okay, so maybe they're all playing different characters. It's like the Hairspray movie that came out. Like, literally every character was a celebrity.
Yes.
Except for Little Inez. I don't think she was she?
No, but she
was
amazing.
Or was it Natalia Naughton? No, she played her
on Broadway.
But anyway, I should say, I care about representation in film and movies everywhere. I think there needs to be a bigger push for LGBTQ+ actors playing those roles in art. It's like the Boys in the Band revival, Ryan Murphy, that happened a couple of summers ago, all gay men playing. Yeah, actually, I think one of them played a straight character in Boys in the Band. There was one straight person that was Parsons' roommate. It's kind of up to you.
I think the character was probably gay, though.
But anyway, I think, you know, I am a huge advocate for representation. Like, there are so many LGBTQ plus actors, actresses, performers out there that should be filling the roles that are being filled by, for example, Darren Criss, who's played gay men twice.
But he's done now.
He's allegedly done, which, thank you, Darren Criss. You know, thanks. No, I mean, and that's not to take away the kind of performance a straight actor can give.
Right.
I think that a great actor can play any kind of role. But I think when we're consistently having these gay characters and not allowing gay, lesbian, everyone, not allowing someone who's actually lived that experience to have that opportunity, it's a crime. Because also, it's like LGBTQ actors are not cast in straight roles because they're told, you know, you can't play it straight enough, or you can't do this, you can't do that
all the time.
And it's like,
they were in fact encouraged to stay in the closet for a long time.
Exactly. So then it's like, you're not letting them play straight roles. You're giving the LGBTQ plus roles to straight actors.
Mm-hmm.
Where do the minorities fit in Hollywood? So I think I would love if a woman of color, even especially a lesbian woman of color, played Alyssa Green in the prom movie. I have no idea who
it is. Happening. Yeah. Ariana DeBose. Yeah.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. So that's my stance on it. This is a bit of a rant, but I didn't get to finish my thought last week because we
got jumping
off topic.
All over the place.
That's just all I have to say.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for the prom. And I actually don't care that much that James Corden is in it. I don't know. For some reason, it doesn't bother me that much.
Mm-hmm.
Would I have loved to see a gay man do it? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But sometimes this is the other part of my thought. Sometimes with Hollywood, they like to put stars in things.
Oh, I mean, Nicole Kidman is in it.
Yeah.
James Corden, Meryl Streep, Andrew Rannells, all stars.
And sometimes things do need a star to get made. So there's the flip to every side of it too.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's funny because we sit there and we're talking, we're like, who should have played that role? And I saw on Twitter, people were like, oh, Billy Eichner. And I'm like, okay, maybe, but I don't know if he would have been as funny for that part.
And he's nowhere near as big of a star as James Corden.
Exactly. I mean, Billy Eichner was actually great in The Lion King.
Yeah, he was. He was one of my favorite parts about that remake.
Yeah.
But I don't love him otherwise. Can I say that?
You can say that.
It's kind of talking more about...
He's in the Murphyverse, the Ryan Murphyverse.
He is,
yeah.
He played that hideous character in Apocalypse who was like affected by the radiation.
Oh,
and he looked so scary.
So scary. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But they're also, Disney has announced that they're working on making Hercules into a live action movie. So this is another example of who will play who. I'm 100% behind Jelani Aladdin getting to play Hercules in the movie. He created the role on stage last summer in Hercules at Central Park. Fantastic, vulnerable, strong, brilliant. There's no reason why a black man shouldn't play Hercules.
Yeah.
I think he's perfect for it.
And the body is right.
Oh, so right. And we love him. also, the muses, there's endless casting possibilities there.
Oh my God, yeah.
Cynthia Erivo, Danielle Brooks.
Oh my gosh.
We could have LaShawn's do it again. You know, she just did it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Or Celia Rose Gooding could do it.
Yes.
That could be fun.
Oh my God, so many people.
Yeah.
That's a great opportunity. God, will they like give the muses even more to do? They would have to.
Oh yeah, they'll probably be like a Greek chorus throughout the whole thing.
Legally Blonde, the musical vibes, Greek chorus.
Okay, so
your thought on The Politician.
Oh, I was just going to share that it's coming out in June.
Oh, that's it?
That's it. That's all I was going to say.
I was like hyping this return.
Yeah, that's all.
Oh my God.
There's only 7 episodes. I don't know how many the first season was, but
I think it was 7 or 8.
Okay, that's all we needed.
Remember when we recorded an episode of our podcast and we had watched two or three episodes of The Politician and we were like
raving about it.
We're like, it's amazing. You know, whatever.
And then that night we went back and finished the show and we were like, oh,
I've made a horrible mistake. I'm just kidding. It was not horrible.
Right.
It wasn't the best thing I've ever seen.
Mm-mm.
It was a Ryan Murphy show. So it takes place on a different...
Is this episode sponsored by Ryan Murphy?
It has to be. Why is he so relevant? I hate it.
Well, he creates great
Maggie,
queer
cut
content.
The episode. We're starting over. I'm just kidding.
So what else you have to chat about before we kind of wrap up? And
well, it's a Ryan Murphy.
Oh my God! What else?
It's the show Hollywood. They came.
Oh
out.
Yeah. Well, that we could definitely.
We're
talk
not saying
about.
His name anymore.
But I will say we have only watched 4 episodes of it.
Okay, true.
And
I'm not going to make that positive.
I really enjoyed the first couple episodes. I think it's already going in a cracked direction. But we do have some Broadway representation, Mr. Jeremy Pope, who was the 2-time Tony nominee at last year's Tonys for Choir Boy and Ain't Too Proud. He's in it, and he's fantastic. Darren Criss is in it. Patti LuPone, who we love and stand forever.
She slays. Holland Taylor.
It's a really great cast. And of
Joe
course,
Mantello?
Yeah, Joe Mantello, who
oh my God.
Directed Wicked,
that's
but
seen...
is also an actor.
That's right. Tony winning actor. Mm-hmm. I'm like...
I know he was in The Glass Menagerie a couple years ago.
I think he was in The Normal Heart.
Yeah, he's... amazing actor.
And that scene in episode 3 where he's in, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but it's a 2-person scene with him and
right. I'd say it's the
Rock Hudson character.
Yeah.
It's
the best part of the whole episode.
Rock Hudson is so hot.
100% your type.
But you know who else? Jeremy Pope is too.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And also the guy who plays the lead role, who was in The Politician, mm-hmm. David Corn Sweat. He's actually really good, too.
Yeah, he really anchors the whole show. I thought it was going to be a Darren Criss as the lead show.
I know.
I'd say he's one of the 3 leads, but doesn't have as much character development as the other guys do.
Yeah, he doesn't.
It's a really interesting show. Again, another good quarantine binge at this point, because it's... I mean, we'll probably finish it tonight.
Yeah.
It's really good. I mean,
I love that era.
It's enjoyable. It's like that. It's a post-World War II kind of trying to fight to make it in Hollywood story.
Very gay.
Which is interesting. It's probably the same era as Feud, Betty and Joan, actually.
It would be. But I read that Ryan Murphy was like, no, that would be too distracting to put them in. I'm like, okay.
Well, I wonder if they'll get mentioned later on, though.
I think they already have been in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that era of Hollywood, the titular Hollywood.
Yeah.
But I like it because it feels theatrical. Like there was sets that were built and people like would read and really like, I mean, a lot of them use cue cards, but it was like theater. They learned their lines. They would study so hard and they didn't necessarily have like YouTube videos and like acting. There were some acting classes and things, but it wasn't like they could watch hundreds and hundreds of movies to like really work
on
their
craft. It's a gorgeous
like,
bygone era.
It is.
Glad it's gone for many reasons.
Troublesome too.
Because of the, you know, prejudices and just the way that the studios controlled a lot of their stars. It was really kind of sad in many ways.
But and destroyed lives.
Killed Marilyn Monroe.
Like, Judy Garland.
Mm-hmm. So it's, in many ways, it's we can look at it.
Robbie Rozelle is listening to this and he's probably going to be like, oh, interesting. They're talking about Judy Garland.
But yeah, it's good. I definitely recommend it.
I recommend it.
Do you have a dose of drama for this week?
My dose of drama this week is that gay people are throwing indoor parties and posting about it all over Instagram and being irresponsible. Like some of these videos, and I saw some of them were even like frontline workers. Like, come on. Like, it's not this in New York. I'm like,
yeah, I saw that too.
Like, what are you doing?
It's insane.
No masks in sight. No, I mean, sure, things are going to start to open up as time goes on, but like, come on, be responsible. Like, we've been inside for like 2 months now.
Right.
Like, get a break. Give me a break. Like, I can't wait to be out there, you know, partying too and like socializing, but come on, you're ruining it for the rest of us. In the words of Taylor Swift, this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, honestly. that's a true dose of drama, and I absolutely agree.
I know.
Mine is a piece of culture that I think everyone can listen to this week. I famously, and maybe problematically at times, love Todrick Hall, and I stan him. If you guys know, he's like a YouTube artist, but he's been on Broadway, and he makes these full production movies every time he releases a new album. With the exception of this time around, he did release an EP last week called Quarantine Queen, which is like all music that he's recorded.
Wait, that's what it's called?
Called Quarantine Queen.
Wasn't that the name of our like...
Wait, it was. Quarantine Queens was the name of our first...
Quarantine episode?
Queen episode, yeah.
I'm dead.
Todrick, I'll see you in court.
Yeah. Give me a break.
But no, I think that Quarantine Queen is like the name of a lot of like these digital drag shows. But
oh, is it?
It's a very cracked 5 or 6 song EP. I mean, including one of the songs truly just being a parody of heels, hair, hips, or nails, hair, hips, heels. It's like Scrubs, like masks,
Toddy woke up on day 3 of quarantine and was like, today I had a thought.
And he worked it out.
You think? It's good?
I really like at least 3 of the songs. One of them is called Mascot, and it features Jerry from Cheer.
Get out.
And I think Monica recorded one line of dialogue.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah, you hear her voice towards
Queen.
The end.
Queen.
Amazing. She's like, Tajik, Jerry, you made Matt. Like something like
no,
that.
No. Mm-hmm. You're kidding me.
It's definitely Monica. And then I love this song, Rent, which is like basically about rent should be canceled at this point. And then he also recorded an iconic Tiger King song, which I know we're exhausted with
King
content, but it's called Meow. It is a gag, and it features a very prominent queer artist in the LA community, Raya Latrey, who wraps the house down with a Carol Baskin's
rap.
I know. sort of like a rap about it, and it's so cleverly written and so good, and I recommend you listen to it. I think it's like less than 20 minutes if you listen to all the songs, and it's fun, and it'll make you smile and laugh, and that's kind of the drama that I'm looking for right now.
That's drama, because he's a polarizing figure.
He is, and he also addresses in his song Rent that he may not pay the rent, but he does pay his dances.
Oh my god, I cannot. Because that's, of course, that was drama, that it came out that he didn't pay his dancers
for a shoot in which he explained that it was a volunteer activity.
Oh my god. Mm-hmm. That's really funny.
When you're in power, people are going to try and tear you down. And, you know, Tajik, he always has the best things on Drag Race. Whenever he choreographs the songs like Kitty Girl, he mm-hmm. always brings out the best in the queens in the show. And he gives the audience what they want by kind of putting doubt into some of their heads. And
we always joke that when he did that one song with Rue, what is that song?
He did Low, the song Low on Straight Outta Oz Deluxe, but he also did that scene in Forbidden.
I know. Why can't I think of it?
Yeah,
it's like such a good song.
Mm-hmm.
But we always joke about, because Rue did the video, and we're like, what was that conversation like? Like, did Tajik like text Rue and be like, all right, I need you to come in. Like,
Dem Beats. That's what it's called.
And Rue is like this cracked, like, spin doctor.
DJ type caricature.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
Yeah, it's good. It's fun.
Well, good for you. We all need a little joy in quarantine.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I can't believe another episode has come and gone.
I'm kind of sad.
I know. But this was fun. I hope that everyone seizes the moment and looks into all of their, you know, go back and binge some old Ryan Murphy things. And tell us who you want us to talk to.
Yes.
In these next couple of interviews. We've set up, are starting to set up the next few. But otherwise, make sure that you follow us on Twitter and Instagram, because that's where you're going to continue to see the announcements about our guests. And
announcements about Patreon.
And maybe merchandise down the line.
Yes, God.
And it's at The Drama Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Which we need to clear up some drama.
Oh my goodness.
This is like something, we talk about this like every day. The Drama Podcast may be the handle, but drama is the name of the podcast.
Right. Of course. And also, be sure to give us a rating.
Yes.
Like, right now is when people are listening to podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating. Write down some cute little words about us. And continue to spread the good drama around y'all. And Connor, I guess we'll see you next time.
Drama.